The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, I'm joined in the studio by Rosemary Coleman, consultant dermatologist at the Black Rock Clinic. Good morning to you, Rosemary.
Good morning, Claire.
We're talking about hair loss this morning, and we're talking to people maybe who have noticed that their hair isn't as thick as it used to be, or that there are more strands of hair on the hairbrush than there might have been. But lots of us have strands of hair on the hairbrush, and that is normal, isn't it?
Absolutely. We shed about 50 to 100 hairs a day. So that's completely normal. People will start to panic if they start to see more. People with long hair often worry more, but that's because their hairs are very long and they look worse on the hairbrush.
But if you notice an increase, maybe you should start asking questions about what's going on.
Yes, if you notice an increase, but also more importantly, if you notice a change in your scalp hair. So if you start to think my ponytail is getting thinner, or am I receding on my hairline, or is my parting looking broader, am I covering it up, then start to ask about it. Don't wait until you have got a really severe hair problem to start to look for advice.
But a lot of people will think, well, this is normal, comes with aging, and you just have to accept it.
Yes, I spend my time explaining that you don't. So, just because it comes with aging, we can still fight it. So it was fine when we used to dye in our 40s, but now that we're surviving on average till our 80s, we do want our hair. It is our crowning glory. And the important thing is to remember that, particularly for male pattern baldness, we often tend to fuss more about girls. People often say to me, oh, my 18-year-old son is losing his hair, he's a bit upset, he's going to cut it short. And I say, no, get some help, get him on medication, get advice early, because it's one thing losing your hair in your 40s as a man, it's another thing losing it in your teens. So even if we can get them through the 20s and 30s with a good head of hair, they may eventually get some hair thinning. Mm-hmm. So there's an awful lot you can do about it, but people tend to think, oh, I'm menopausal. Well, you're meant to have lousy hair by now, aren't you? No, you don't have to. When your estrogen levels go down, that makes you more susceptible to the byproducts of testosterone. The hair can thin, and we can counter it with very simple medications that are really well tolerated and highly effective.
Is it the case, though, that once the hair is gone, once the follicle is gone, it is gone forever?
It's like Harvey Norman, when it's gone, it's gone.
Right. There's nothing you can do about that apart from a hair transplant.
No, that's exactly right, Claire. And that's why. And also some people will say, oh, I don't want to take medications. I'll wait and just have a transplant. Don't do that, because you need to preserve the follicles. So it's a bit like the tulip bulbs. If the foxes come along and dug up the tulip bulbs, there's no point in putting loads of fertilizer on that soil. You're not going to grow tulips. Mm-hmm. So we want to get the hair when people are starting to see thinning, because you get what's called miniaturization. The hair follicles shrink. If we put you on a drug, for example, minoxidil, that will reverse that shrinkage, thicken up the follicle and stimulate it to grow again. So we want to get it early, if possible. And that's for age-related hair loss. There are lots of other causes of hair loss.
Like?
Oh, there are many. Okay, so you can get hair loss after a shock. So such as the shock of having a baby, wonderful as it is, the body has a shock. 100 days later, we lose hair. You will grow that back after 6 months, but you just need reassurance. The same can happen after a severe illness, after COVID, after a bad car crash, after a grief, trauma. So that's called telogen effluvium, and that's a reversible cause of sudden hair loss. When the hairs suddenly go into the resting phase, and they'll all shed about 100 days after the event.
What about genetic hair loss?
Genetic hair loss, there are a couple of different types, but the most common type would be what we call male pattern baldness. And the important thing is that doesn't just happen in men, and it doesn't just come down the father's side.
It's the maternal side, is it? Or
it
both?
It can be both sides. And worse again, if both parents have got hair thinning. So some people think, oh, well, my father was bald, my brother's bald. Well, my hair thinning can't have anything to do with that. It is the same gene. It's a genetic susceptibility to the byproduct of testosterone, and the drugs can block the enzyme that converts the testosterone.
So you don't have to accept that either, even if it's in
definitely
the family.
Definitely not, Claire.
Okay.
Definitely not. So we can help most causes of hair loss.
And is this all about prescription medication?
Yes, it pretty much is, because people often say, oh, well, I'm going to take a hair supplement. It's again, we're back to the tulips. There's no point in taking a supplement if the bulbs are gone. So the important message here is the people who manage hair loss are dermatologists. We are trained in hair, skin and nails.
I think a lot of people don't know that.
They don't know that. I think
that's a surprise to people.
I was just asked it in your waiting room. Who do I go to for hair? And people will often attend me for other issues. And at the end, they say, oh, and by the way, I'm getting a hair problem. Who should I go to? And dermatologists are hair, skin and nail trained. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying other people can't do it, but we do happen to be the experts. So if somebody has some hair loss, it's not about going to the dermatologist and saying, I want minoxidil. We take a full history. We take a nutritional history. We measure blood tests, nutritional levels, iron, vitamin D, B12, biotin, etc. Zinc levels are very important. And say somebody has gone through crash dieting or a period of being very unwell, then you might want to give them some nutritional support as well for 3 months. But by and large, you need medications. But it might be that you've got a scarring inflammatory disorder and you need completely different medications, anti-inflammatories, steroids, immunosuppressants. Mm-hmm. You may have an infective hair disorder. You may have fungal infection. You may have a chronic bacterial infection. We treat those as well because the hair follicle is extremely sensitive to scarring. It's even sensitive to certain hairstyles. So there's a lovely hairstyle at the moment where the young girls pull the hair back into a very slick ponytail.
I know all about it in my house. Yeah.
Well, don't let them tug the hair back. Let them cheat. Pull it back gently and then glue it down if they must with pomade, which they should wash out because you don't want to get a buildup of that. It can break the hair if it's suppressing it. But the thing about that is you get traction alopecia. So if you pull back really hard, just like with the children who get cornrows or the people with black skin who have that lovely cornrow hairstyle, you'll often see that the cornrows start further and further back the older the people get. You're pulling the follicle out just as though somebody had tugged on your hair. Or the little habit of trichotillomania where people just have a habit of plucking the hair out of their eyebrows or their scalp. Not a good idea.
Let's go to some questions. So this is from a 27-year-old woman. I've always had really thick hair that hairdressers always commented on. This starts to change and after a few blood tests I was diagnosed with an underactive thyroid. My hair has gotten a little bit better but it's not as thick as it once was. Any advice?
I think it'll come back. Once her thyroid has been effectively treated and once there is no other cause. So the important thing is you can have a few different things going on at the same time. So, for example, her body will have had a degree of shock from having an underactive thyroid. So that could trigger a little bit of that telogen effluvium I told you about. Nutritionally, she'll be checked out as well. Also, what if there's a family history of hair loss for her as well? What if mum or dad have hair thinning or balding? She might need support down the genetic line as well. Mm-hmm. So we will often find people will have a few different triggers going on at the same time and we must treat them all.
Now, I have some people on that drug that you mentioned, minoxidil.
Yes.
So this listener is on minoxidil and finasteride. You obviously know that.
Finasteride,
right? And they want to know, is it possible that shampoos with powerful detergents are damaging the hair?
If they're on minoxidil and finasteride, the answer is pretty much no. The shampoos are not their problem.
Okay.
It's probably genetic.
Are hair extensions bad for your hair? Does it depend on the ones that you get?
Well, again, if you're going to need hair extensions, I really would urge you to go and get a hair consult because people will often use extensions because they think there's nothing they can do to thicken their hair. But it does depend on the ones you get and if they're high quality, good glues. But I wouldn't expect there to be a problem unless they're being put in badly and pulled out, etc.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and another one. So this listener's going through menopause, the hair has gone from very thick to thin, fine hair. They're on minoxidil as well, but it's been growing back very coarsely. It's wiry. It looks fragile and brittle. Are there treatments to help along with taking the minoxidil?
That's a good question. Naturally aged hair, if it's dyed, does get drier, coarser, frizzy, etc. Her hairdresser could advise on new hair products. There are lovely products out there. You're saying she's menopausal. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming she's on HRT because estrogen would help her hair. She may need finasteride. You do not give finasteride. It's very dangerous for women of childbearing age. I'd hate anyone to get a hold of it on the black market. It's very much for postmenopausal women. It's not licensed, but it's very safely used for postmenopausal women and men.
But you haven't noticed that once people are treated with minoxidil that the hair comes back and it is coarse and brittle. That shouldn't happen.
No, but sometimes people will have different hair disorders. For example, if they have a hair disorder, alopecia areata, they can have had straight hair to start with. It can grow back curly. If there's inflammation in the follicle, that can cause the follicle to twist, just like people with black hair have got spiral-shaped follicles, and that's why it's curly. Likewise, you often hear people saying after chemotherapy, their hair grows back and it's quite
different.
The colour is different, the texture is different. Follicles are very susceptible to damage. So if there's inflammation or trauma to the follicle, that can change.
Okay, Rosemary, we have learned a lot. Thank you so much. That is Rosemary Coleman.
The Clare Byrne Show with Aviva Insurance. Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.